Tom's going to bring a psalm to us now, Psalm 132.
A Song of Ascents. Lord, remember David and all his self-denial. He swore an oath to the Lord. He made a vow to the Mighty One of Jacob. I will not enter my house or go to my bed. I will allow no sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids till I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the Mighty One of Jacob. We heard it in Ephrathah. We came upon it in the fields of Jer. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool, saying, Arise, Lord, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your priests be clothed with your righteousness. May your faithful people sing for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not reject your anointed one. The Lord swore an oath to David, a sure oath he will not revoke. One of your own descendants I will place on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and the statutes I teach them, then their sons shall sit on your throne forever and ever. For the Lord has chosen Zion, he has desired it for his dwelling, saying, This is my resting place forever and ever. Here I will sit enthroned, for I have desired it. I will bless her with abundant provisions. Her poor I will satisfy with food. I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her faithful people shall ever sing for joy. Here I will make a horn grow for David, and set up a lamp for my anointed one. I will clothe his enemies with shame, but his head shall be adorned with a radiant crown.
Amen. Let's have a reading. It's a short one from Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. About the Son, God says, Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. He also says, In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. This is the word of the Lord. Amen indeed.
You can stay there.
Good morning. Really good to see you. It seemed a long time, but here we are again. We're all a little bit older, aren't we? And seems to me that the older I get, the more disgruntled I get. Not disgruntled. That's not the right word. With the news and newspapers. It's all full of man's inhumanity to man's inhumanity to God, full of man's sin and accounts of it. And it could get quite depressing if we let it. And we're told, of course, that we're rapidly running out of resources. This is all the bad news first. We're coming to the good news, promise. Trees and timber are running out. Electricity and gas will. We're even running out of test tubes. Right? And it could be incredibly discouraging. And I feel sorry for the ER group, Extinction Rebellion. I think they should just go to the Word of God and have a look and say, listen, we just read about it. God is going to wrap up this old world in Hebrews. like a rag. And it's wearing out. Okay? We're all wearing out. I am wearing out. And I remember ringing a friend of mine and I said, "How are you, so-and-so?" Ooh, she says, "Nothing works." "No, everything aches," she says. "And what doesn't ache doesn't work." I think we can all do that. So therefore, when I go to the television, and I don't watch an awful lot of television, but I'm getting selective as to what I do watch, because I want to watch something that is positive and that has a decent ending. And this is why I want to share to you the gospel of The Repair Shop. How many of you watch The Repair Shop? Yes, I see those hands. Isn't it great? It's the one programme you can guarantee a positive ending. And do you know what to me is exciting as I've sat watching that on numerous occasions? Is that here on our television screen, BBC One, 8 o'clock usually on a Wednesday, that's the commercial, we're having the whole plan of redemption of man played out for us in these objects that people bring to this repair shop in the Weald, or wherever the Weald is, somewhere down south, isn't it?
Sussex,
is it? Thank you, Christopher. And it's fascinating me. It's a very popular program. And I wonder how many people realize, how many of us realize, that this is a marvelous picture to us of what God is doing on a spiritual level. Let me explain what I mean. You probably think she's cobbed. Yes, that's true. But let's have a look. Here are people that bring very precious articles, much loved, often with a fascinating history, and they leave them in the hands of these craftsmen, these amazing craftsmen. For how long were we not told? I'd love to know sometimes, ask them, "Excuse me, how long did it take you to fix that particular object?" And it's fascinating to see these people, these artisans, these craftsmen, set to work on some object that had been neglected, hidden for years, perhaps in a cupboard or a drawer, misused, broken, smashed in some cases. Some parts have to be replaced, others skillfully mended, welded together, reground, machinery taken apart, cleaned of grime, dust, repainted. And all the time, this was going through a verse that rings through my mind. "He who sits on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" Now notice that somebody pointed out to me, he didn't say, "I am making all new things." He does. But in this case, "I am making all things new." I had a friend one time who was very embarrassing to go out with, because she used to find coins on the floor, usually by a checkout at a supermarket. She said, "That's a good place for finding coins." And she used to pick these up. I mean, I don't know this one. One time we were out walking and she saw, there was this coin, and she said, "Pick it up." So she said, "Good job, Jesus did that for you, wasn't it?" But her one claim to fame was when we were walking by a rubbish tip one time. We walked past it, don't worry, but she disappeared. I thought, crumbs, where's she gone now? And she came back with this tatty old, you know, the old flat irons that we used to have long before Morphy Richards or anybody else came on the scene. And I said, "What on earth are you going to do with that?" She said, "You just wait and see." And some weeks later, I was in her home, and there on the fireplace was this flat iron, all polished up and beautiful, and just sitting there on the hearth. I said, "What on earth did you put that there for?" She said, "Because it's a reminder of what Jesus has done for me. Picked me up off the rubbish heap, and is displaying me there for all the world to see." Isn't this what's happening in the repair shop? There's a man who used to come to Cape May to visit his daughter. His daughter was a friend and colleague of mine. And this father was a diminutive little man physically, but a giant spiritually. And whenever I used to see him, I used to say, "Hello, John, good morning, how are you?" "Good as new, pet, good as new." Now, I used to think that was just a sort of cliche which he used to toss off. Until I started thinking about it, actually, what he said was true. Now, let's go into this whole business of the repair shop for a minute. These objects that people bring are very precious to the owners, irreplaceable, all with a family history. It could be a doll, doll's house, an old sofa, a miner's lamp somebody brought in, very precious, because it was his grandfather's, who was killed in a mining accident, and this was the only thing they kept of him to remind them of him. It might be a harmonium, an old music box, a guitar. Somebody brought in a 116-year-old camera one time and got it working again. A beautiful inlaid table that somebody had made for, had been made by her late husband. A teddy bear, all sort of bald and not working properly. A painting, a ceramic vase, a cross once that had saved her grandfather's life in World War I because he kept it in his top pocket and the bullet hit that rather than him. Saved twice by the cross. And we all of us here, like those objects, we are all incredibly precious to our Maker, to our owner, to God. Yes? Convince yourself you are. You are irreplaceable. There'll never be two of you. You are unique, irreplaceable. With a family history, and handmade by our Creator, but along the way, along our journey, there's been damage by sin, by neglect, perhaps crushed. Maybe we feel we're no longer functioning as God intended. Perhaps we feel undervalued. Perhaps feel a failure. And yet we're brought, and these objects are brought to somebody who can fix them. And I remember the days when I made my first faltering steps towards the one who I knew could fix me and give me some sort of purpose in life and put me on the right track to where I should be going. And the owner's hopes, the objects brought to this barn somewhere down in Sussex, have already said, inside these team of artisans. Leather worker, I love that girl who does the leather work. She's amazing, isn't she? I love the guy too who does the woodwork. Always admire greatly people that work with wood. I remember once thinking, oh, there was a night school advertised for people learning basic woodwork. Oh, I thought I'd love to do that. So I went, this poor guy, I felt heartily sorry for him. He tried to teach us how to make dovetail joints. I think he could have driven a cart and horses through mine. Not a big success, that. And poor guy gave up in the end, I'm not surprised. But the skill of working with wood and other things that are good with toys, others that are upholsterers, usually in a sorry state of not working properly, but these objects damaged in some way. And I love the question that the people, when they bring these objects, they're placed, as you know, on a trestle table. And the question is, what would you like me to do with this? Now, if Jesus was standing before you today, as he stood once before blind Bartimaeus, and asked you that question, what would you like me to do for you today? Be interesting. That's a question for you to answer. And I remember that time when, I'll tell you about it in a minute, but at the age of 20, 21, when I came to the workshop, when I came to God through the Lord Jesus, and the one thing, if he'd have asked me that question, I'd have said, I would long to have a purpose in life. I would long to have some sort of reason for living. I would love to have some eternal direction. And I discovered, of course, that lovely verse, which we all know well in 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And I see this with these objects placed on this trestle, a lovely picture of these artisans beginning their process of getting to work on these objects. And it makes me think again and again of the work of Jesus by his Holy Spirit in my life and in yours. What do I mean? Well, the process usually starts by some form of cleaning up. Right? It might be a picture, it might be a piece of machinery, some piece of woodwork. Get rid of the grease and grime. I think the last program I watched, the person said, the worker, the craftsman said, well, we've got to get rid of about 100 years of dirt and grease. And I'm always amazed about the ingredients and the tools that these people have. They have every sort of glue, every sort of lubricant, don't they? Just sort of very conveniently at hand. And I love it when they put these some objects into some cleaning fluid. We have something better than a cleaning fluid. It's called the cross. And it starts the process of cleaning up, restoring, reforming, making our lives as good as new, eventually, starts by the cleaning process. We have the cross. And they set to work, these artisans get to work on the process of transformation and repair. Sometimes the object has to be taken apart and dismantled before it can be put back again. Other parts have to be replaced, new part made, old leatherwork stripped off. Again, I look back in my life and I think of some of the work that God's two artisans, Jesus Christ, his Son, and the Holy Spirit, have done in my life. I'm glad you're studying Ephesians. Ephesians 4:3 says this: you were taught to put off your old self, stripped away, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Some things have to be stripped off. Some attitudes have to be changed. Our attitudes about a person or about a thing. And as the work and the process of reforming us starts, the change very often has to start here. Be changed by your attitude of your mind. And then the interesting thing to me is, as you go to the workshop, these artisans, these craftsmen, all have tools. Amazing. Drills, paints, oils, saws, metal replacements, fine screwdrivers, cloths for lining, upholstery, etc. It's all there. And do you know what I think about this? Jesus and his Holy Spirit also have tools. And 2 Corinthians says this, Chapter 3, verse 18. We are being transformed into his likeness with increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Notice the present continuous tense of that. We are being transformed right now, today. Part of the transforming process is taking place. Doesn't this excite you? I don't like some of the tools he uses. Well, it takes time. No idea how long, as I've said before, how long these objects that are left in the repair shop. But Jesus too has tools in his workshop of life as we walk with him, as we start this amazing journey. What are the tools he uses? Well, I'm going to suggest four. I'm sure there are many more. First of all, I do believe he uses circumstances. Lockdown, what have we learned through the lockdown? Has it made us more patient. I'd like to think it has. More tolerant of other people. Is that one of the workshops? What about the hurts that we've had to cope with? How have Jesus coped with those hurts? As he said, listen, walk away from them. Just let them go. And some of the tools that Jesus uses are very painful. It might involve the stripping away of a relationship, the loss of a job, a financial problem. It might mean ill health, working through that. And these are painful things. Did you know, in the time that I have known the Lord Jesus and had friends that have really gone through the mill, I could say, like Job, when I have come through all this, I should be refined as gold. And very often it's the people that have gone through the tools of Jesus' workshop, the planing and the stripping away, that have come out with a depth of a relationship with Jesus Christ, which they didn't have before. I think of another tool that Jesus uses and the Holy Spirit in his workshop are people. Those who get right up our noses, excuse the expression, but you know what I mean, and one has to realise that I do the same for somebody else. It's like sandpaper. The chisels that he uses are very often other people. And we have to learn to love them. I don't have the love for that person who irritates me, but Jesus has. Okay? And these are the chisels which he comes, and the holes that sometimes he has to bore through some of our ideas. Then I think of people who have been on the positive side, very influential to me, who have advised and counseled, helped spiritually and practically. Those who have said perhaps some cutting things which hurt, but which in fact were true. We were talking at breakfast time today about people being offended. Oh, can't say that, it offends people. And part of me said, oh well, tough, learn by it. It's part of the chisel. You know, Jesus offended people, didn't he? Got right up the nose of the Pharisees, that's for sure. But he spoke truth, and truth sometimes offends. And so when you hear all this woke business and all this thing, oh, we can't do that, say that, because it might offend somebody, I think, well, we've got to learn to deal with that. And perhaps other people who are being, God has used, Jesus Christ has used in our lives as tools, people who have been role models to us, who have built us up with encouragement, given us opportunities to preach, and not crushed us. Then, of course, most importantly of all, of course, I should have said this at the beginning, I think one of the amazing, most amazing tools that are used in God's workshop is the Word of God. And we shouldn't be surprised when we read verses like Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. The Word of God, which is like a two-edged sword. I've never possessed a sword, but I've seen them two-edged. Why does it say two-edged? For attack, and of course for defence. It's used, it could cut things out. And the number of times when the Word of God, and I'm sure many of you have experienced this, have pierced, have said things which are true, which needed to be stripped out of my life. And at the times when I've needed God's Word to defend what somebody has very disparagingly said about God. I remember talking to a Daily Express reporter one time who was totally, totally disparaging about God. And it really hurt me what he said. And I teared up, which is an unusual thing for me to do, especially in public. And he obviously thought about this, and he came back, he said, I'm terribly sorry. He said, I didn't mean to hurt you in any way. I said, well, the only thing that hurts me And this is where this must have come from the Holy Spirit. He said that one day you are going to have to stand before that God that you have just despised so. And that came from the Word of God. Remember, we had a girl at Cape Mary many years ago. She was called Imelda. She came from the Congo. She had, what was Idi Amin's country? Uganda. Thank you. She had seen her husband killed when guards came in and separated the men from the women and killed her husband in the process. She herself escaped with her own little boy, Jeffrey, not an English name. She went underground along with the church, she said, but they began, you can't keep Jesus quiet, I remember her saying, telling us. And one day she went out with some literature, and it wasn't long before she gave one to the secret police. She was captured again, put in a prison cell. Now you imagine telling this to a group of students who have life very plush at Cambridge, who were dead upset if they hadn't had a letter that week. And I would say to her, how would you feel if you were stripped naked and meant to kneel before people who interrogated you about your faith? Silence. And then Imelda said this. She said, as this man pointed a gun at my head, I find myself saying things to him that I don't remember learning from Scripture. And she said, and they came out one by one. And she said, and this man eventually put his gun down and just shrugged. Word of God, powerful, potent. She had learnt it. And I never forget what Imelda shared about that. You'll be pleased to know she was eventually released, came to Cape Mary, and had found her little boy who had been, anyway, it's another story. But that girl's life spoke volumes to that group of students, I have to say. So God's word, God's creation. I've mentioned circumstances are the tools, people can be tools, God's word can be a tool. Last one, God's creation. I remember reading a story of one of the French philosophers, and I can't remember which one he was, but he was philosophing, and as philosophers do. And he was standing in an atheist agnostic, and he stood in front of a tree one springtime. And as he watched this tree bursting into life from the deadness of its winter leafless branches, he is attributed to have said, God, if you can do that for a tree, would you do it for me? And I love trees. I find them fascinating. I love that verse in Psalm 1, verse 3. He, person who trusts God, walks with God, he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Sorry, story about my brother, 3 years younger than me, but I was home one time and he was there, and one of his business friends rolled up in his BMW. I'd never met him, and as he enfolded himself out of this car, my brother said, this is my sister, have you ever met? Oh no, I haven't, delighted. So Tim said, well, he said, you've heard of Twiggy, haven't you? Oh, course. Well, this is a counterpart, Trunky. Thought, charming, that's what brothers say, what they do. But years later, I was watching a program on television of a man who was saying just how much water trees absorb and draw up. And he took what to me was like a doctor's stethoscope, you might have seen this, which he had attached to some monitor or other. And he put the end of the stethoscope onto the bark, the trunk of the tree, Trunky. And you could hear, this gurgling sound. It was amazing, of water being drawn up into the tree and, of course, out to the branches. And that so spoke to me of what you and I have in the Holy Spirit. As we draw upon all the resources we have in Christ, those resources come out through the leaves, through the branches, through the fruit. And that will remain with me for quite a long time. And this lovely verse from 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, after the Holy Spirit, Jesus, have been at work in our lives. Therefore, we don't lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So that's that. But after this work being done, these objects brought, and finally when they finished, they're put on a table, you know the procedure, and they're covered over with a blanket or something. And to me, this is the best part of the program. The final outcome, when the owners come back to collect their precious and valuable items. Jesus is coming back sooner than we think. Read Revelation 8. We're living in these days. Of 2 Timothy 3:16, know that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. Unthankful, unholy, ungrateful, just about everything else. We're there. What's happening in America? Fires, floods, ice in Texas. The world is wearing out, just as Jesus said it would be. But what about us? The great news is that we are being renewed by God's artisans, Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit, day by day. And as these objects are put on the table and veiled under a blanket, and then the veil is lifted, and the owners cry when they see it, the owners come back and they cannot believe what they see. I tried to make a note of some of the exclamations. You see, at the moment we struggle to see his face. I think all of us, the older we get, the more longing I have to be there, to see him, to have that veil removed. Yes. And now we see 1 Corinthians 13 through a glass darkly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And as the veil is removed from these objects and the owners see them, some break into tears, even grown men, don't they? And, he's come back to life. You've brought out the true colours. A toy, it's back where it's belonged. I'm never going to let it out of my sight again. It's going to stay with me forever. Fantastic. I never thought I would ever see it like this again. I don't believe it. It's working. I can't thank you enough, they say to the artisan. I haven't the words. And I think, wonder how God is going to feel when Jesus presents his finished workmanship to him. It's how I originally meant him to be, her to be. The true colours, functioning properly. I'd love to know how we're going to function in heaven, and that, but that's another debate. We'll leave you to think about that. And I find this very moving to watch this, and I think, what will God's face be like as Jesus and his Holy Spirit present us to him, the finished product of his redemption. In one of the last programs, a man brought in a pair of running spikes worn by his grandmother in the 1936 Olympics. She was a sprinter and she won a silver medal. Hitler was apparently at those games, but didn't, she said, fortunately, present her with her medal. So the member of the repair shop, as this man came in to claim these spikes, which a young cobbler, brilliant young fellow, who'd made them as good as new, they were amazing. Believe it or not, I used to do some sprinting in my early days, and I had a pair of spikes, not too dissimilar. So I looked at these things, I thought it was fantastic. So the repair shop people said, what are you going to do with these now you got them? And he said this, I'm going to display them and show them off. And immediately That verse came to me from Ephesians 2. Perhaps you'll be looking at it this week. And God, God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in coming to ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. My thought is, to whom is God going to show off us, the finished work of his Son? Well, the only people I can think he'd show us off to must be the angels. Look what my Son's done. Look what the Holy Spirit has done. They've repaired this precious, beautiful creation of mine whom I love dearly and brought into completion. And this is why I can now understand John Skelly's work. That's the name of the man I told you about, who every time you asked him how he was, would say, "Good as new, pet. Good as new." I wonder if you dare say that the next time somebody asks you how you are. Don't need to use the word pet, but good as new. And I just so love this gospel played out before our eyes in so many everyday things. If only we have eyes and ears to see them. So next time you watch the repair shop, think of it in maybe a different way. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Going to the dentist next week and actually be reminded how outwardly I am wearing away. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Do you believe that? Amen. Well, our last hymn is normally a wedding hymn, but I've chosen it because of the last verse. Love divine, or love's excelling, and it's number 449. 449. Am I right?
That's right.
Oh, good. Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you for the truth of that lovely last verse and the truth of all that we have thought about today, that you are transforming us day by day. We are being renewed. And we so thank you. It's hard to believe sometimes, but we believe what your word tells us, and we pray that in these next days that we might live in the good of the fact that we are being made good as new. And so to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen.